Did everybody get a good rest? Those who were at camp yesterday? Yesterday? Jonathan, Chris, they really worked you there. Accomplished a lot of work. The material we're to look at this week, perhaps maybe part of next week, is the prophecies of the Lord Jesus Christ seen in the Old Testament. And we're going to begin with the prophecies concerning the prophecies and the pictures that is seen in the words of the prophets and in their lives and the illustrations that we see there. There's also a type of teaching that is referred to as typology, which is very often seen in the Old Testament in the lives of men, and pictures, and every type needs an anti-type, and it's found in the Lord Jesus Christ. And there are many, many types in they support the teaching, the doctrinal teachings of the Word of God. They don't stand alone, but they support the teachings found in the New Testament, and they're great, great supporters. I thought we might look at a little bit in the life of Abraham to begin, and some of the thoughts there, and you can feel free to join in anytime you'd like. We're going to basically look at the portion in chapter 22 concerning Abraham offering his son Isaac, but I would like to begin in Genesis chapter 12. Genesis 12, we're going to look a little bit at Abraham. Verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abraham, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. God called Abraham out of Ur of Chaldees for a specific purpose. He was going to bring about a great nation through Abraham. And when we look into the genealogy of the Lord Jesus in Matthew 1, we find that it begins with Abraham. Abraham is noted as a man of faith. And the genealogy begins with faith. And then we find that the Lord Jesus Christ, of course, is the end of the genealogy. But he's looking for faith. And he says, When I come, shall I find faith in the earth? When he comes to the earth. Down through the ages of time, through history, and as we see in the Word of God, right through to the coming of the Lord Jesus, who is the master of faith, God is looking for men of faith who would obey him. Abraham's faith was a faith of obedience, and we'll see that in chapter 22. Noah's faith was the faith that looked beyond the flood and so on. God told Abraham that he would make him a great nation. And God has done that, hasn't he? The Jewish nation who came as a miracle. As we know the story of Isaac and how he was born and so on. God miraculously brought about a seed. And God has brought about a nation. But a nation today that is far from God, aren't they? Israel does not recognize their Messiah. Israel is in a state of unbelief. They do not realize that Christ came and died on the cross for their sin. They're apart from God. They're a nation that is away from God. They're a nation that is facing trouble deeply today. But the worst is yet to come for the nation of Israel. God chose a nation. But he also says that all of the nations of the earth would be blessed. All of the nations. We are a blessed people because of God, what God had promised to Abraham. We enter into the promises of Abraham by faith, don't we? And it's a tremendous thought when we think of it. Let's go to chapter 15. Israel is not in a state of blessing, of course, there's a day coming when they will truly be a blessing to the earth. And you have to remember that when God said to Abraham to look to the stars, see if you could number the stars, so shall thy seed be. If you could number the sands of the sea, so shall your seed be. We think of the heavenly and we think of the earthly. We think of today that God has an earthly bride that God is calling out from the earth. Those who come to know the Lord as their Savior and receive Him as part of that heavenly bride.
Jason, mm-hmm. All the earth is blessed through Israel, through the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
I mean, even though Israel is not what we call blessed people now, right. We're all blessed through the Lord Jesus Christ. And he talked about obedience to this here. I see in my Bible, I got marked down, he read these three verses, and then in the next verse, it says, Abraham departed. And that's obedience when God speaks to us and tells us to do something. We don't sit around and think about it, shall I or shall I not? But Abraham, he didn't think about it, he just got up and went. Because God said, that's what we do in our lives too. If God speaks to us, we act upon the obedience.
Good point. We have to remember too that Israel is God's earthly people, and there's a remnant today. The prophets speak, Isaiah speaks of the remnant that is left. And God has his own remnant, the faithful few, but basically Israel is a departed people from God. But as a result of the judgment that is yet to come, Israel will be brought to their knees and they will recognize who the Lord Jesus Christ truly is. And sad to say that there's difficult days ahead for Israel to come. We have to remember that Israel is God's chosen people. He they're the apple of his eye. And God says, if you bless Israel, he'll bless you. If you curse them, he'll curse you. And we need to keep our eye on Israel and how God is dealing with her and this, the events that unfold. Let's turn to chapter 15 and just read a couple more verses. In verse 4, and behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him abroad and said, look now towards the heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he accounted to him for righteousness. Abraham believed God, didn't he? Thanks. Abraham believed what God had said to him. Even though Abraham was a bit older in age, when God called Abraham, when God spoke to him, Abraham obeyed. And Abraham believed what God said. And this illustration is used many times in Scripture. And we're going to look at several of them. But the Lord spoke specifically to Abraham. And, you know, God speaks to us through his word. And it was through God speaking to Abraham and all that God said, the promise that he had made, and God speaking to him, Abraham simply believed. And that's how we come to know the Lord as our Savior, don't we? By simply believing what God says in his word. It's simply what God says, that each one of us were born in sin and were shapen in iniquity. And the sin that is so rampant and such a snare upon us. When God says that we cannot know him unless we have forgiveness of sin and accept his dear son as a sacrifice for our sin, that's all we can believe, isn't it? Just simple belief that the work has been done and we believe him for righteousness. Now, yes.
You said earlier, you said that God moved you with Israel. But if I remember right, it wasn't anybody that harms Israel, God would deal with. But I believe the last time I heard Rand Davis speak, he said that the United States would turn its back on Israel. So, in other words, what you're saying is let's say the United States didn't turn its back on Israel, then God's going to deal with us as a nation and to turn our back on Israel.
I would say. Up at this point, we've supported Israel and stood behind her, although I'm not really happy with some of the things she's doing in that. And, but there's many events that is yet to unfold. God is going to deal with Israel. Deuteronomy 29 speaks about a nation that will come upon Israel with a language that they won't even know. They'll come as swift as an eagle and so on. Some feels that's Russia that will come upon them. These are interesting days. And we certainly need to support Israel. And speak to reach them for the, with the gospel, that they might come to know the Messiah before it's too late. The gospel is the same for Israel as it is to the nations. Whosoever believeth will be saved. Abraham believed God and accounted him for righteousness. Let's go to Romans chapter 4. If anyone has a comment, just feel free to join in. Paul uses Abraham as an illustration concerning justification by faith, apart from works. And he's gathering his evidence together concerning the fact of justification is solely by faith and apart from any works that one can do. Verse 1, what shall we say then that Abraham our father is pertaining to the flesh hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Unto him that worketh is a reward not reckoned of grace, but of death. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. So Paul is saying that justification is works has nothing to do, cannot add to that being justified by faith. It cannot be attained by works. Justification is solely by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and his finished work. The word counted has the word reckon. He's reckoned it to our account. He's reckoned to us that the slate has been clean, and that we've been totally justified before God. We stand complete in him before God's holy throne, and in the blood of his dear Son, who has paid for our sin, has justified us. If we could be reckoned by works, we would have what? We could boast, couldn't we? If it was a reward, there's a debt to pay. There is none. The debt has already been paid for. We couldn't pay the debt. I think as someone mentioned this morning, I think Tom was the one that mentioned that in the morning meeting, that the debt was paid for. And there's nothing that we can do to add to justification to our faith. There's no works that we can do. But it's simply by faith. And then he uses the illustration of David. David describes the blessedness of a man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. He used the illustration of David, and he's quoting from Psalm 32, that There's no works that anyone can do to bring forgiveness of sin. But it's simply through faith in the work of God. And God does not impute sin. He doesn't add sin unto sin. But God forgives. And there's many people today that are deceived by the fact that they have to work their way to heaven, work their way to gain righteousness and to be justified. And how deceitful that is. God has completed the work of redemption through his Son. His shed blood on the cross has justified in. Of course, David is speaking of the covering that is yet to come when the Lord's blood would eternally bring forgiveness of sin. And then we see, let's go to James chapter 2. We're speaking about works. Someone read verses 14 through 26.
What does it profit, my brethren? For a man say he has faith and not works, he may save him. If a brother or sister be naked, destitute and gave food, one of you say unto them, heart and peace, be warm and filled. Notwithstanding, he gives them not the same journey to the body. What does it profit? Even so faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone. Yet if man may say, thou hast faith, thou hast works, show me thy faith without thy works. I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devil also believes in parable. Wilt thou know, O man, that faith in that works is dead? Not even in our Father justified by works, he offered Isaac his son upon the altar. Seest thou how faith lost with his works, by works his faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, but he was in righteousness.
Okay, thanks. We just saw that in Romans that works cannot produce faith. Cannot bring justification before God. But faith can produce works. There ought to be some evidence in the life of the believer that God has done a work in that life. The evidence that one is justified before God, the evidence that one is truly a child of God, is seen in our works. If we do not have works that show evidence of faith, do we really have true faith? And you say, how do you define works? I'll just throw that out to you. What is the works that he's talking about? What is is an illustration in verse 15 that if a brother and sister is destitute and have need, and we failed to show compassion to them and failed to see their needs in that, you know, to respond in that way and to care and about someone else's needs is an evidence of one's genuine faith, being concerned about the needs of others. The expression from the heart, those that know you the closest and you rub shoulders with someone, what do they see as an evidence? What kind of evidence are we showing that he or she has real, genuine faith? John speaks about genuine love. He says if someone come in and they have need in that, How can we turn our back upon them? Or to minister to their need, and that's one way to show love. And so there's illustrations here, and James writes concerning the evidence of faith is seen in our works. It's seen in our life. And the things that we do, the things that we say, and the things that is a real conviction in our lives. The things that set us apart from the world. Places that we go. Our lifestyle that we live. Those that we associate with. These are evidences. Are they positive? Are they that which produces good works? Or does it draw us away? And Abraham again is used, as Clint mentioned, the illustration of Abraham's true faith was seen in his obedience in the works before God. Let's go to Genesis 22. We have a few minutes. Evidence of genuine faith is seen in the life of Abraham here. In his obedience to God and doing what God had asked him to do. God had tested Abraham. In verse 1, it came to pass after these things that God had tested Abraham or tempted Abraham and said unto him, Behold, and he said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here am I. God tested Abraham. It's a test of faith. And we're faced with testing day by day, aren't we? Each day we're faced with testing about us. Or maybe in different situations that we don't know what we should do or that. These are testing times when we can go to the Lord and seek Him. And Abraham's faith was tested. Remember when God called him, he took him to he says, I will take you to a place and I will show thee of. Abraham didn't know where he was going, but he was simply going by faith, and he believed God. And that's true with our lives, day by day, that God wants to lead us each day, doesn't he? He's going to show us the way, just like he did to Abraham. That's a test of his faith. And he said, in verse 2, and he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. Abraham was to take his son, Isaac, and take him into a land of Moriah, and God was going to tell him on what mountain he was to offer him. It was to be a burnt offering. The offerings were not given until later on in Leviticus. But somehow God revealed to Abraham concerning a burnt offering. Remember, Abel brought an offering of a lamb. To my knowledge, this is the first time that we see the burnt offering mentioned in Scripture. And the burnt offering was one that was to be totally burned up. The priests were not to receive anything of that offering. but it was to be totally consumed by fire. Abraham was to take his son and offer him as a burnt offering. That's a picture of Abraham as a father and Isaac as his son, a picture of the Lord Jesus, who gave his life on the cross of Calvary for a burnt offering for your sin and mine. He completely gave of himself. He gave of all that he had. He gave his life on the cross of Calvary and faced such terrible torment of death for you and for me. Now, for the sake of time, I just want to go let's go down to verse 13. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold him a ram caught in the thicket by the horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. I like that thought of, he called it Jehovah Jireh. In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. What is going to be seen? What is God going to show Abraham? God is going to show Abraham the many blessings that is yet to come through his seed. And in Isaac shall thy seed be called. He established his seed through Isaac. And because Abraham withheld not his own son, but he offered him up. We know, as we read, when Abraham was about to slay his son, God provided a ram in the thicket, caught by the horns, so there'd be no blemish upon it, and offered instead of his son. There's something that is to be seen that God is going to show Abraham. And I believe we see it continue on in the life of Abraham, how God will bless his seed, it will be multiplied, make it great, and so on. In verse 15, an angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, because thou hast done this thing, I was not withheld thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand that is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of the enemies. In thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. And I believe this is what Abraham was to see, Jehovah Jireh, that God is going to do a great work, that there will be a heavenly seed, there will be an earthly seed, and all the nations of the earth will be blessed. And we're going to look at some of the thoughts concerning blessings of Abraham in Galatians chapter 3 next week, and some of those thoughts. I'd just like to for us to think, you know, Abraham was a man of faith, and he walked by faith. And you know, God wants us to walk by faith. We're living in a society where we're an affluent society where we've been blessed, haven't we, in many ways. And God has blessed our country tremendously. And many of us don't know what it is to go without, or some of us. We're living in a blessed nation. But you know, Abraham knew what it was to really walk with God and depend upon God. And that's what we do day by day, don't we, as a child of God. Each one of us, we believe and we walk by faith. But as a true child of God, we're called to a life of faith. And the evidence of that life needs to be seen in our walk, and what we do, what we say, how we conduct ourselves. And you know, we can learn much in the life of Abraham. Abraham sometimes doubted. Abraham was weak at times. Yet through those times, God brought him back to himself. But Abraham is truly an illustration of faith and what God wants to do in a life. And does anyone have any thoughts they'd like to share or anything? Yes.
You know, I was thinking when we built the church, you know, a lot of people just really appreciate the open gospel one day where they got this card of showing your faith maybe with words that don't skip over and I think a lot of people are deceived and are saved out there when they have to. But I think that aspect of it is thankful that their salvation is at that. Because there's a lot of people that don't preach to us. Good work.
People are going to be deceived. Final day comes. What they thought was real is not. And I think it's a very dangerous thing. It behooves us to really get into the Word of God and really search the Scriptures for ourselves to make sure that we're in the faith. When the Lord comes, will He find faith? Will he find real, genuine faith? Or will he find a coldness, a lukewarmness, a hardness? We need to be sensitive to him. We need to really see more of Christ in Scripture as we read and study the Word of God. You know, it's so easy just to read words and mouth words and that, but do we really see the Lord Jesus in his person, his work? Sense his love and God's goodness and greatness, and desire to really learn more of him. That's what it's all about, isn't it? To really be drawn closer to him. Their faith might increase day by day. Maybe someone would just like to close the word.